Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who is present, who gives life, who calls into existence the things that do not exist. Amen. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? Yet with you is forgiveness, and so we confess. We take a few moments for silent reflection. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned away from you, knowingly and unknowingly. We have wandered from your resurrection life. We have strayed from your love for all people. Turn us back to you, O God. Give us new hearts and right spirits, that we may find what is pleasing to you and dwell in your house forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, receive the good news. God turns to you in love. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, says our God. All your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the free and abounding gift of God's grace for you. Let all God's people say, Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray. O God, our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism you bring us each to new birth to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading is from Genesis 12, 1 to 4, a reading from Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Word of God, word of life.
Up my eyes to the hills, from where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep. Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil, and will keep your life. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore. Oh, lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord.
The second reading is from Romans 4, 1 through 5 and 13 through 17, a reading from Romans. What are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestors, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherent of the law, who are to be the heirs? Faith is null, and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of us all. Of many, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Word of God.
The Holy Gospel for today comes from John, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said this to you. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and that you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses was lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but also those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, it is a good morning. I know we're all a little tired. We lost an hour of sleep, but that's okay. We'll get through it. Anybody know what this is? Anybody? You ever seen one of these before? It's an envelope. That is very specific. Yes, it is an envelope. It is an envelope. But it seems to be addressed to somebody. So what's that make it mean? Have you ever gotten a letter before?
Yeah.
Really? You've never gotten a letter before? Well, guess what? You're part of the children's sermon group, so today's your lucky day. This might be your first letter. It is to the children's sermon group from chapter 1, verse 1 through 21 in a place called the Gospel of John. Well, that's awfully specific. Let's see what it is. That's not being very specific? You're right. I could be more specific. I could put a page number. Let's see. You're invited to a birthday party. Whoa. Have you ever been invited to a birthday party before? Yeah? You haven't been invited to a birthday party? Or you? Oh, you have. Oh, phew. Good. Wow, we're invited to a birthday party today. That sounds fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to go to this birthday party. But aren't you guys all born already? You're all alive already, yeah. Huh. Interesting. Well, geez, curious. So what on earth could this be talking about? If we're invited to a birthday party, but clearly you've already been born, you're growing up, we're not going back in, what's going on? Well, it seems to be an invitation to another kind of birth. None of us know this because I don't remember being born, but from what I'm told from science and doctors and that, it's pretty dark inside of your mom's tummy when you're growing, right? It's pretty dark. It's hard to see where we're going. But once you get out, there's light, and it shines on you. And sometimes a baby might squint the first time they come out because the light is bright. They may even cry a little bit when they come out. But they've come out of the dark. And we're being invited today to come out of the dark again, because we sometimes like to be in the dark, don't we? I mean, winter's a pretty dark time. We're coming out of the dark. And sometimes in our lives, we're in the dark. We are. Sometimes we have questions. It might seem like it's a lonely place, but Jesus is reaching in and helping us come out. It's like another birthday. It's like coming out of that dark place and coming to the light where there's new life. Not exactly the birthday party we were thinking about when we got this invitation, is it? But it's a birthday party that we can celebrate every day, being in this light. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we thank you for bringing us out of the dark. Show us that light so that we can party with you and others. For you love the world so much that you gave your only Son. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, maybe you know what today is. We've hit it on the head a couple of times. It's daylight savings, right? We lose that hour of sleep, but the light is in our lives just a little bit longer, right? We've come out of the darkness of winter. You know, some people really like that, some people don't. But either way, we've come out of it. We're getting closer every day. There's a little more light, a little more light, a little more light. And I don't know about you, but after being stuck in the house for quite a while, this weekend we're going outside again to take Daisy for a walk, and myself and Zoe and Mindy, we're all definitely going for another walk today. Yesterday we went for a walk. We were out. Just look, the sun's beaming through the stained glass windows. There's light everywhere again. That's a wonderful thing to see. And yet, here in this gospel reading for today, we don't necessarily start in the light. We start in the dark. It takes place at night in a dark place. Jesus and Nicodemus coming together in the dark. Nicodemus coming from the dark looking for the light. So, Who is this Nicodemus person anyway? Some of you probably know a little bit more about Nicodemus than the person next to you, and that's very possible. But let's rehash some of these things of who Nicodemus is. He's a Pharisee, not somebody that usually would probably come to Jesus. He's a ruler, again, maybe not somebody that would necessarily come to Jesus. He's a leader of the Jews. Not exactly the same, but he's not necessarily somebody that would come to Jesus, but he is. But maybe he's coming in dark because what happens if he's seen? What happens if somebody sees this person that most people would think you shouldn't be around Jesus, hanging out with Jesus? The dark might be a safe place in which to meet with Jesus. But does this also represent us in a way? One of the commentaries from this week that I read talked about us here in this century being kind of similar to Nicodemus, right? We have some pretty good faith sometimes. Some of us are pretty successful. Some of us are very self-confident. Actually, a lot of us probably are self-confident. Sometimes we're very curious. After all, why do we spend way too much time on the internet if we're not curious? Curious about too many things. And we might speak face-to-face with somebody about faith, but we might not necessarily do it in an open and public place. Sounds kind of like Nicodemus in a way. Do we keep that faith to ourselves in the dark? Do we do things in the dark instead of the light? We ask questions. We're really good at asking questions. Nicodemus asks questions to Jesus. How is this possible? What do you mean? What are you talking about? And we ask these questions. But sometimes, when it comes to our own faith, we ask questions quietly, in the dark, perhaps because we don't want to be looked at as the fool. Why would you ask that question? Isn't it obvious who Jesus is? Don't you understand? Maybe we do these things in the dark. And sometimes our faith is in that dark. Sometimes it's there because we push it aside, or something else pushes it aside, or we have the questions, or we like to hide in the dark. But in that darkness, even though we have the faith, something is missing. And we might ask, Jesus, what on earth are you talking about being born again? What's this birthday party you're talking about? It's not possible. Science says we don't get younger and go back in. We get older. But does our faith need to see more light at times? Do we need to get out of the house more, as it were? In darkness, sometimes our faith is there. Sometimes we like the dark. Sometimes we'd rather hide in the dark places because it's safe. But sometimes in that dark, even with faith, we worry about things. We doubt. We worry about unknowns like this new virus. We don't know what's going on. We worry. We hide. We worry about death. We worry. We hide. We worry about what's going to happen in politics. We worry and we hide. We worry about climate. We worry and we hide. We worry about people. We worry and we hide. And sometimes it's safer just to all of a sudden say, I can't do this anymore. I need to not hang myself because this is really tight. But instead, I'm going to hide in my own world. This is sometimes the place to hang out, unless you have a microphone. Let's try it again. There we go. Sometimes it is much quieter, safer place for an introvert to be in here, in a world in which it's so crazy. I believe Jesus is out there, but I think it's safer in here. It is way safer in here. Maybe we hide in there. But the thing is, maybe we hide in there where it's dark, not just because it's safe, but maybe we're ashamed. Maybe we're ashamed that, yeah, I believe in God, but I'm hiding in here. Why? Why am I hiding in here? Maybe we don't want God to see what's really going on in our hearts, because God already knows. And in a way, that's some of what John 3 is talking about. Some people love the dark. Sometimes we love the dark because it's safe. We're hidden from the world, or we fear our faith is not strong enough. Nicodemus is there too in this dark setting, looking for the light. I have questions, but I'm not sure. I don't want to go against these people, but I will come to you. I will ask these questions, but I'll do it in the dark where it's safe, where nobody will find me or see me. But with the light, this light of Christ, imagination grows, and we're invited. We're invited. We get that invitation into a deeper relationship. Invited to, hey, get on out of that pool. Get on out of the womb. There is so much more out here. There's so much more going on out here. We're invited into that relationship, invited into hope in a whole new world. And sometimes, you know, honestly, like a stubborn child, which was not me, you can't wait anymore, and you have to go in and take that child out. And God had enough of waiting. So God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Enough waiting. We got to get in there and pull him out of this dark place. Faith in dark can be okay, but it's incomplete. The sun is lifted up. The light completes us. It is completed. Christ is sent not to condemn, but to save. Christ came into the world so that all who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. It's an invitation to grow. It's not necessarily a calling out saying, you have to be born again, but be born again. Come on out. Come on out. It might be safe in there, but look what's happening out here. Look at the light around us. It's easy to hide, but there's that light. Come on. Come on. Get out of that hood. It's okay out here. Take it off. Look what's going on out here. Build relationships with each other and give that darkness to God. And Nicodemus at the end of this probably returns to the night because it doesn't say it's daytime, but Nicodemus does grow. He comes back two other times in the scriptures. He comes back and defends Jesus at one point in front of other church leaders. And at the very end, he comes with spices at the death of Jesus. He's still there growing in his own faith. And we don't know what happened next after that, but I'm sure he kept on growing. And we are growing too in that light. Continue to grow. Continue to ask questions and be filled with hope, promise, and the light of Christ who is lifted up and saves the world. Because the world can be a very dark place, but Christ came into the world bringing a light for all people, and invites us. Come on, let's grow together in relationship. And through that relationship, maybe we'll grow in relationship with one another. Who knows? The sky's the limit. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Having heard the gospel proclaimed in our midst, let us, together with the whole church, confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Oh, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. I will end each petition with, "Hear us, O God." And the invited response is, "Your mercy is great." God of rebirth, empower your church throughout the world to be a voice of hope for those who fear judgment or condemnation. Assure us of your faithfulness and give us confidence to proclaim your salvation for all. Hear us, O God. God of rebirth, your spirit hovered over the waters and you called creation into being. nurture and bless all signs of rebirth around us, budding trees and new shoots, thawing lakes and warm breezes, and animals waking from hibernation. Hear us, O God. God of rebirth, lead the nations in your way of righteousness. Protect those who advocate for the needs of children, migrants, and victims of violence. Give courage to lawmakers, lawyers, judges, and law enforcement officers, guiding them to do justice and to love mercy. Hear us, O God. God of rebirth, give us a new vision of your healing power among us. Restore hope to those who suffer from depression or despair. Bring mercy and relief to all those who are injured, sick, or suffering. Lord, we lift up to you the family of Bob Kramer, Fran, Heather, Deb, the family of Winnie, Gay Jean, Ashley, Tim, the family of Jack, Scott, missionary Karen, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magallanes. Hear us, O God. God of rebirth, our world is facing a virus that threatens our people. Enhance the efforts of scientists and leaders to contain the virus and stop the spread. Heal those that become ill from it. Help us to protect ourselves, our loved ones, and everyone else. Hear us, O God. God of rebirth, coax us out into the light. Show us your promise of peace, grace, and light. Hear us, O God. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine on you with grace and mercy, and the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
One of my very favorite songs. I love that song. Mm-hmm. Go in peace. Share your faith in the light.
Thanks be.